From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, each and every one covered by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and it is my honor and privilege to be escorting you now through the second half of my work week, Sunday night, Monday morning. Great to be here. That is in most time zones. I thought I would take a moment out and explain to you how the guest lineup on Coast to Coast works internally. I know that a lot of you probably are not aware of this information, and inside information is kind of always fun, I guess. All of our guests are hunted down like dogs, and then some of them come to us, and they're pre-interviewed. Our producers pre-interview the guests. And then anything can happen. When somebody, you know, in a pre-interview, a lot of times, somebody will just open up and say everything in the world, and they sound like they're going to be a terrific guest when they get on the air. And when they get on the air, they freeze solid. It happens. Or they get nervous. Or they get scared. Or they get scared to talk about the material they've got. Or they're intimidated, or the kind of answer you get is, this is one of the really bad ones. It's in my book. Well, tell me about the alien. It's in my book. Or even worse, it's in your book, meaning mine. So a million different things can happen. Some guests who are only so-so in a pre-interview then turn out to be just fabulous on the air. It can go either way. You know, life is a crapshoot. When you're having a new guest, literally, every night, well, you know, you're going to get some good ones, you're going to get some duds. And that's just the way the guest lineup thing works on Coast. And then, of course, you get some guests that are so good, they're repetitively on again and again. It's a little redundant, isn't it? Well, The Departed has done it. It has won Best Picture. The mob saga, The Departed, won the Best Picture Academy Award on Sunday, a triumph for homegrown American films in an evening that featured the most internationally diverse field of nominees in the history of Hollywood. Martin Scorsese finally won the Best Director Academy Award that's eluded him throughout his illustrious career. The Susan Lucci, I was told, of the Oscars, taking the prize for his mob epic, The Departed, after five previous losses. A female suicide bomber triggered a ball-bearing packed charge Sunday, killing 41 at a mostly Shiite college whose main gate was left littered with blood-soaked student notebooks and papers amid the bodies. Witnesses said that a woman carried out the attack at the business school annex to the university. Interior ministry officials said they were still investigating those reports. School's main campus was hit by a string of bombings last month that killed 70. Now, of course, all that in Baghdad. Welfare seems to be growing now. That's kind of a surprise. I thought welfare had started to get smaller. You know, they put a time limit on everything. You remember that? And it started shrinking, but other programs for the poor, including Medicaid, food stamps, disability benefits, are all bursting with new enrollees. Well, what devastated Arkansas, southern Arkansas, and elsewhere is now headed for the East Coast. Brace yourselves. A huge winter storm plowed toward the East Coast Sunday after dumping as much as 2 feet of snow in the upper Midwest, grounding hundreds of airline flights and closing major highways on the plains. So look out back there on the East Coast. Many Iraq War soldiers, veterans, and their families are not getting needed psychological help because a stressed military's health system is overwhelmed, understaffed. A task force of psychologists found it was a 67-page report that calls for the immediate strengthening of the military mental health system. All right, in a moment, we will we'll continue with some news that doesn't make the mainstream news. In the past, we've had some very near misses with asteroids. And of course, we'll have it again in the future. A team of scientists and engineers are striving to save humanity from asteroid impacts that could threaten life here on Earth. Richard Fork is assembling a team to conduct research into deflecting asteroids that may endanger us. As we know, it was an asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs. Actually, that's in dispute. One of his plans, though, is to someday use a laser beam to trace and perhaps even alter their trajectories. Wouldn't that be nice? In The Independent, David Osborne reports a group of former astronauts and cosmonauts is warning that at least one astronaut is on asteroid is on a path that could see it collide with our planet in 2036. They say work should begin now on a strategy to protect humankind. Now that's 2036. That's a pretty good sized rock, incidentally. A real killer. That's not that far away. 2036. Something worth considering, I suppose, that we could just instantly be wiped out just like that, gone. I will never forget a caller I had, a lady, and we'd been talking about something like this on the air, and the lady had called a credit card company, I think it was MasterCard, in fact, and she had asked, because of our program, you know, what would your company do if something was like this was headed toward Earth? And they actually passed this lady up the line into management because it was such, they thought, I guess, such an interesting question. And by God, she got an answer. And the answer was also, I thought, very interesting and actually logical. And the answer was, ma'am, we would do nothing. We would allow everybody out there to continue to use their MasterCards right up to whatever their limit was. In fact, maybe even extend it. And when you think about it a little bit, the logic is flawless. If the asteroid hit and wiped out all life on Earth, oh, well, they're not going to collect anyway. Might as well let the populace have fun, right? If, on the other hand, man's ingenuity triumphed and the asteroid did not hit Earth, my God, think of the debt that would have been run up and the company'd be just singing. So either way, what's to lose, right? And I thought, well, completely logical. The world's largest tropical glacier is in danger. In danger, actually, of disappearing within 5 years, according to international researchers meeting this week in San Francisco. Ohio State glaciologist Lonnie Thompson, as well as a team of scientists, say they found evidence that the Quarry Glacier of its Quillcaya, of the Quillcaya ice cap in the Peruvian Andes, could lose now half its mass in 12 months and gone in 5 years. My God, it's happening quickly. The lower elevation tropical glaciers are going right now. No matter what we do, we're going to lose the glaciers on Mount Kilimanjaro, and we're going to lose the lower elevation glaciers in the Andes. The ice cap covers 44 square kilometers in the Oriental region and is the world's largest tropical ice mass. Its biggest glacier, Quarry Callas, has receded by at least 1.1 kilometers since 1963, when the first formal measurements were taken. The rate of retreat has increased from 6 meters per year between 1963 and 78 to 60 meters per year right now. It's going fast, folks. If we ever make black holes here on Earth, they might be much stranger objects than the star-swallowing monsters known to exist in space. According to yet another new theory, any black hole that pops out of the Large Hadron Collider under construction in Switzerland right now might be surrounded by a black ring forming a microscopic black Saturn. A black hole and a black ring can coexist in theory as long as they're set spinning. If you just had a ring, it would collapse. It's essential that it rotates to keep balanced. All this is in New Scientist, just like the central black hole The ring would be defined by its event horizon, a boundary beyond which nothing can escape the object's gravity. The ring could be thin, like a rubber band, for example, or fat, like a donut, and the rotation would flatten it, like a donut that you've squashed. The spinning ring would also drag space-time around with it, making the central black hole spin as well. Now listen carefully. The black Saturn can only exist in a space with four dimensions, rather than the three that we inhabit. In 3D, the black ring is impossible, so there are no big black Saturns out there for astronomers to spot, but at a microscopic level, they might really exist. Some attempts to unify the forces of nature, notably string theory, involve extra dimensions of space. The extra dimensions are usually thought to be curled up tight, so small as to be inaccessible, but in some theories, they can be big enough, maybe a fraction of a millimeter in size, maybe infinite, to probe with high-energy experiments. They remain hidden from our eyes because, although gravity can reach out into these dimensions, all other forces are confined to our 3D world. One consequence of these theories is that at short range, gravity becomes very strong. That means that a relatively small amount of stuff would be needed to make a microscopic black hole. Now, listen very carefully. A few thousand times the energy of a proton would be enough, producing a black hole no more than about 9 to 10 meters across. Now, that really shocked me. 9 to 10 meters across. I thought that the black hole they would create with a collider would be something virtually microscopic, very, very tiny. But now they're saying 10 to 19 meters in size. As far as black holes are concerned, particularly ones we create here on Earth, that'd be pretty big. The world is about to change in a big way. The continents are being rearranged by earthquakes. By the way, this is courtesy of Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. One scientist says we don't precisely know what's going to happen, but we believe that it may turn parts of northern Ethiopia and Eritrea into an island before a much larger landmass, the Horn of Africa, finally breaks off from the entire continent. So they're expecting an awful lot of earthquake activity. February 22nd, 2007, imagine hiking across Antarctica through ice, cold, bitter wind, enduring months of hardship, finally arriving at the doorstep of the South Pole itself, and at that very moment, you get hit by a Sahara sandstorm. That's the analogy scientists are using now to describe what happened to the ESA, NASA Ulysses spacecraft last December. Ulysses was approaching the South Pole of the Sun when it was sandblasted, literally, by a cloud of high-energy particles, protons, electrons, and heavy ions. The strange tale begins December 5th, 2006. Now, this storm was so strong, listen very carefully, so strong that if Earth had been where Ulysses was, we would have experienced a full-fledged ground-level event. Now, that's Professor Bernard Heber of the Institute for Experimental and Applied Physics in Kiel, Germany. In other words, the particles were capable of tunneling all the way through Earth's atmosphere to reach the ground. Heber is a principal investigator for the Kiel Electron Telescope, KET, a sensor on board Ulysses able to detect such super energetic electrons, protons, and ions. Now, a ground level event from the sun? Boy, that has echoes of Ed Dames written all over it, doesn't it? And then this. The present popularity of paranormal subjects has brought a lot of chaff with the precious wheat, fakes and frauds, along with the genuine. Over the years, the same wonderful stories tend to go round and round and round. Often the embellishments of a true story, or more often, have little basis in truth at all, and always happen to someone who is a friend of a friend of a friend, right? At present, the whole paranormal arena is as much overloaded with this as the scientific world is skeptical. In fact, We have a new word in the British dictionary for nonsense mongers who speak baloney. It's called Rumsfelding. Rumsfelding. One such story is the tale of a headless hitchhiker. You've heard this, right? Usually a young man or sometimes a woman who thumbs a lift late at night only to get out of the car at the destination with no head. So the story runs, an accident at the spot some years ago left the young person decapitated, and of course they're going round and round. Another, the bizarre claim that all the British crop circles were done by a couple of disturbed cranks with a piece of string and a plank topped up with a bottle of whiskey. Strange, when three were discovered last year to have appeared in one night in the south part of England, they'd have to be awfully busy. At school, our science teacher would tell us that carrots helped us see in the dark, right? Mama said that, too, as a matter of fact. But this story now has been discredited completely. Apparently, it was part of a massive government propaganda exercise during World War II. A particular favorite of the writer here is the saying, "I nearly had kittens." One of my college students came out with this after class. This comes from having an irrational fear. It originates from the Middle Ages and tells of the fear of witches would bring on pregnancy pains, which were a spell turning the baby into kittens, which, of course, then clawed at her insides. Nowadays, we know witches can't do those things, right? Everyone knows the tale of some wicked old man who, at the exact moment he died, all the clocks stopped. An internet search reveals over 40 similar stories. How many are true? Another, the Chinese restaurant who puts cat and dog meat into the food, continued eating of which brings people to act like dogs and cats. Prolonged investigation through back copies of newspapers revealed just 17 convictions throughout the UK over a 39-year period for various banned meat products. When you consider what goes into some ordinary sausages, you don't want to know, by the way, and what they feed to cattle. Not really a whole lot of cause for concern here. Another favorite is the family holiday, usually in Spain, where driving through a remote district, the old granny dies of a heart attack and is put into the boot. This was written by a British fellow. Trunk, of course. When stopping at a roadside cafe, the car is stolen, only to be found intact, washed, and cleaned with an apologetic note saying the thief would never interfere with a mafia killing. And is so sorry and will never take a car again. All right, listen, coming up in a moment, we're going to take unscreened, very dangerous, unscreened open line calls. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. But warning, the people who are not interesting will not get very much airtime. The more interesting you are, the more airtime you get. So carefully consider before dialing. If you are west of the Rockies, the number is 800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the number is 800-825-5033. If you're a first-time caller, we love you. Area code 818-501-4721. Wildcard line callers, and we have many of those. Chances of getting through on the wildcard line are pretty darn good. Area code 818-501-4109. And finally, if you're outside the country altogether, call, talk very nicely to your local operator, and have her call 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. Now, tonight's guest is Jim Sparks. Now, this is a guy who was an abductee and who was so incredibly interesting that the first time I did a show with him, I extended the show an hour to 5 hours. Then I did another show, and tonight we are going to do it yet again. Jim is incredible. He has almost total recall of what happened to him. He has a perfect understanding of what they are like, what their motives are, just about everything you can imagine about them. And he's an amazing, amazing man. So Tonight, a return of Jim Sparks, and we will attempt to sort of recap what happened and how it happened to Jim over the years. And then we're going to cover new territory. This man has so much to say that we're going to get into new territory with him. So those of you who enjoyed the previous interviews, you're definitely going to want to be along for tonight. Meantime, though, after the break, which is coming quickly, we're going to talk to all of you about anything you want to talk about. As I mentioned, though, make it interesting and you get more airtime. Make it dull and you're out of here like, well, you get it, right? I'm Art Bell. Back in the desert, that's for sure. Good morning, everybody, for the most part. I'm Art Bell, and the webcam photo up there tonight is as last night. I am so proud of my wife, Erin. That's Erin in the photograph, and we're on a movie set. I got to do a bit part in a movie called I Know Who Killed Me. That's the name of the movie with Lindsay Lohan. Be coming out in July, and so you can check it out and check out my little bit part. The reason I did it was not so much to be in the movie, but have an opportunity to drive Erin down to Southern California. She has assimilated so well, she didn't particularly want to come to the U.S., but the opportunity came to do it, and so here we are, and she has passed her driver's test, you know, and her written test, which 70% of the people fail first time around. And she's driving, taking lessons, just doing remarkably well. And I think the reason it helped her so much is that she came from Mindanao, a southern island in the Philippines, a remote province at that on Mindanao. And so we spent 8 months in Manila, as you know, where we have a condominium. And then came to the States. So I think that 8 months in Manila must have really helped her. And so today she practiced driving to the Catholic church that we have here in Pahrump. And she's Catholic with a capital C, no question about that. So she practiced driving to the Catholic church. She has done so well here. All right, in a moment, your calls. By the way, I'm not in the business of giving people free plugs, but this thing is so cool that I guess I can't resist. I just got a Skype phone. Now, some of you, a lot of you I know, are familiar with Skype, right? But they've got a deal that's really hard to beat. I'm wondering what's going to happen to the phone companies in America, because you can subscribe to Skype for like $29.95 a year, not a month, but a year. And in that year, you can make all the U.S. Canadian long distance phone calls you want to make free of charge. Well, or for that $29.95 a year. And now they've come out with this little gadget that plugs into your router. You just plug it directly into your router. And then it's a portable phone, just like any other portable phone. I talked to Bob Crane about this, and he may begin to carry them. I hope he does. And this is a dual mode phone. On the one hand, it calls with Skype, and on the other, you can plug your regular phone into it if you really want to. But I mean, when you can make all the long distance calls you want to the US and Canada for $29.95 a year and have a portable phone, which I don't know, cost a couple hundred bucks, something like that, it was just, I don't know, technology is marching forward, and how the traditional phone companies are going to deal with this completely escapes me. Voice quality is pretty damn good. Not perfect, but very close. All right, enough of that. To the phones. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Turn your radio off, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I had a question for you, or actually for upcoming Mr. Sparks. I was listening last week when you guys were talking to John about 2012 and the upcoming earth changes and God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was involving aliens and their possible involvement with our current government or with the NWO or shadow governments, and if they might be working with them or what their role is in the whole thing.
Well, that's a hell of a question. I'm certainly not qualified to answer it, but I'll pose it to Sparks. How about that?
Well, dig and see what you can find out. That's where my curiosity lays.
All right. I'll do it for you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. That's a pre-question. and I'll try and remember it. 2012. I'm not convinced that 2012 holds anything at all ominous for us. I think that they simply got fed up of making calendars and said, ah, come on. None of us are going to be alive in 2012. We quit. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. This is Andrew Pierce from the Tri-Cities.
Okay, now I'm going to have to take that out. You made me do that. You're not allowed to put your last name on the air.
Yes, sir.
So let's start all over again. I had to erase that. You made me erase it. Your first name only is?
Andrew.
Andrew. Okay.
I'm from the Tri-Cities.
Yes.
My thing is I'm thinking maybe with all the experiments in like gravitational and stuff like that, that it's actually causing us to break through, and we're actually going into where the shadow people live, and the shadow people are actually, we're going into their realm, and they're not.
Oh no, I think that's a perfectly reasonable observation. I mean, how many people have called and said, when the shadow people perceive that we can see them, they run like scared rabbits.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's just all our scientific breakthroughs and marvels. We say we're doing all this, but instead we might be breaking through the time continuum, because all these stuff where we screw with atoms and stuff, and scientists like, we don't know exactly what we're doing, but we're going to try it anyways. You never know.
Oh, listen, I couldn't agree more.
So, but I'm. Yeah. It is very nice to talk to you, and I thank you very much. I've been trying to get through forever, and it's just wonderful to speak to you.
Okay, take care. No, that's a very astute observation. Really, it is. Why not? If we can see them, then it follows they can see us, and certainly the reactions as described by people indicate they can see us. So it's probably going both ways, and for all we know, the technology that we're amassing on this side is something we're doing, is beginning to create a kind of an opportunity. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, this is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that. I noticed that everybody's been talking about free energy. And
we talk about free energy a lot, yes.
What's that?
We talk about free energy a lot, yes.
Yes, I was wanting to know if you wanted to have a solution to building one.
I'm listening.
I don't know if you've ever heard the book Perpetual Motion by Hume. Anyway, in there, he's got a story about a man who built one in 1715. Only most people don't think that, you know, that he actually built it, that he was a fake, you know.
Yeah, well, where is it now?
Well, no, he destroyed it. But I...
Why?
Well, because he was trying to get people to give him a lot of money to put it in escrow. And they failed to come up with the money. And in those days, they didn't have patents. So a lot of people were getting curious about it. And he destroyed it. However, he did have some professors who examined it without looking on the inside of it, and they gave it various tests, and they were convinced that he did have it.
Oh, well, that's crazy. I mean, you can be convinced of anything you want, but I'm not convinced. I mean, if somebody created a perpetual motion machine, i.e. free energy of some sort, and the people didn't come up with the money, would he care so little for humanity and the future of humanity that he would destroy it? Yikes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. This is Daryl calling from Southern Indiana.
Yes,
I've got a couple of quick questions about global warming. The first is, if the temperature really is rising just, you know, a couple of tenths of a degree, why is it making such a large impact on the planet?
All right. I'm not a meteorologist. I don't have the answer to that. I can tell you, though, that humanity exists in many places. The police have a very thin blue line. We have a very thin blue line in terms of the temperature extremes in which we can exist. And we're not getting just a few tenths of a degree change. We are getting degrees of change. And in places where it matters the most, like the North Pole, where the ice is melting so fast that a lot of polar bears are drowning, you know, that kind of thing, and where we're going to have an ocean where we once had all ice. It's really happening. I think the consensus of scientists now around the world is that it's really happening, and it's not tenths of degrees, it's degrees.
Yes, I just agree. I think we get conflicting things over the radio, and I want to know, you know, who's telling the truth and who's lying. You know, that's what I don't understand. Another quick question is it true that the temperature is also heating up on Mars, or is that a myth?
No, I believe that to be true. Now, I don't know it for sure. I don't take measurements on Mars, but I believe that the majority of planets are heating up. And now we may obviously be caught up in that. It may be part of it. The whole thing may be cyclical. It may be man's hand. It may not be man's hand. Personally, I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. What does make a difference is that it's happening, that we can measure it, that we know it's true, that most scientists now agree the world is warming. Now, that's going to mean that we have to change where we grow things, where certain things will grow and where other things will not grow any longer. And so if we want to continue to feed our families, we'll begin to make changes based on what we know's happening, no matter whose fault it is. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Jeremy from Sacramento.
Jeremy,
I wanted to talk to you about the mass consciousness experiment that y'all did last weekend, I believe.
Fire away.
Yeah, I walked outside during that time, and I was just thinking, yeah, what are the chances? And I took my video camera out there, and I just spent about 2 minutes, you know, filming some of the bright stars out there, and then I figured I was wasting my time, so I went back inside and listened to the rest of your show, and about 1 o'clock at night, after I decided to review the tape, I noticed that the star immediately darted off to the left and shot off to the sky, and I never noticed that when I was looking through the camera. So I'd have to say, you know, if that's coincidence or, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, but if that's coincidence or maybe not, that mass consciousness experiment definitely worked. I mean,
I know.
It worked. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I actually lost sleep over it, Art. I was like, I was supposed to go to bed. I got to get up early in the morning. I was tossing and turning until 5 in the morning. I couldn't go to bed. My brain wouldn't let me.
I know, buddy. I know. Thank you very much for the report. I know it worked. There's no question about it. It worked. That's all there is to it. Thousands and thousands of responses. It was amazing. Now, again, as I mentioned last night, I hold out the possibility that perhaps any time you would send millions of people out to watch the night sky, you're going to get a lot of reports of people who are seeing things. So that's possible. But gosh, the sheer numbers, the number of papers, newspapers that published stories, local news stations that carried reports and video of things that were seen in the night sky the night we did it and the several days following the experiment is just overwhelming. So with that caveat, I'll say it certainly was a success. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
What would your name be?
My name is Siri.
Okay.
And it's wonderful to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, several things, but I did want to finish up with a lighthearted story. But my first thing is, when you were reading the report about what the chemtrails contained.
Yes.
I didn't catch the first part as to where that came from.
Idaho.
Okay. My mental link was, I'm concerned about the bees, and I was wondering if maybe coming from the chemtrails and getting into the plants.
Do you listen to Coast to Coast a lot, huh?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember listening to Ed Dames?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember listening to Ed Dames talking about the bees?
I read some of his stuff online when I was home. I know about the quote from Einstein, but I can't say I recall exactly what Ed Dame said about it.
All right. I know he said that there would be bees would get in trouble. We wouldn't be able to pollinate. Now, this is in the Idaho Observer. They looked at some samples supplied by some people who had complained of chemtrails. And according to the Observer, the tests revealed 6 bacteria, including anthrax and pneumonia, 9 chemicals, including acetylene chloride, 26 heavy metals, including arsenic, gold, lead, mercury, silver, uranium, and RMC. I still don't know what that is. 7 viruses, 2 cancers, 2 vaccines, 2 sedatives, and a partridge in a pear tree. That's disgusting, isn't it? Now, the partridge in a pear tree, obviously, I threw in. The rest of it was all in what they tested from the chemtrails. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art. This is Scott from Appleton.
Hi, Scott.
Just thought I'd talk to you about tripping some of the old neurons in your memory center. Here's some things that'll let you know how long you've been around electronics. If you think about what Pioneer, Mariner, Kairos, and Telstar all mean.
Okay.
Remember the early days of the space program and the first satellite that went out?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Back then, when you wanted to make a long-distance call across the sea, you had to wait for the Telstar satellite, and long distance cost an arm and a leg.
Listen, brother, I go back further than that. When I spent time on the island of Okinawa 10 years, and you wanted to call home, you did it by shortwave radio. And when radio conditions weren't good, you didn't talk to home.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, then you remember being an amateur radio operator like my dad, MARS, the Military Amateur Radio Service.
Yes, I ran phone patches back to the States for the guys in Vietnam.
Yeah, because I had an uncle that was serving over in Korea during the Vietnam War. Then I also had another uncle who was over in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And being on Okinawa, you'll remember the great stuff that Panasonic put out back then, back in the 60s.
Well, of course.
The little TVs and the radios and their little reel-to-reel tape recorders.
Sure.
And what one of my uncles did when he was on leave from Vietnam, he was in Manila, he picked up a couple of little Panasonic reel-to-reel tape recorders that used 4D batteries. He sent one home to my grandparents here in the States, and he had the other one with him in Vietnam. And what he would do, he would tape letters from home and then send the tapes to them, and they'd listen to him, and then they'd tape a letter back to him on the same little tapes and send it back.
Actually, testing my memory cells in this area brings to mind not the name Panasonic, but Roberts. And Roberts was generally what most of us bought back in the old, good old reel-to-reel tape days. The days of splicing razor blades. Well, those of you who were there, you remember. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Mark online over the internet.
Yes, Mark.
I want to talk about, I tried to get in last night about contactees. I've been a contactee since I was 3.
How old are you now?
62.
Wow.
1985 in a suburb of Melbourne, Australia. I looked at the clock. It was about then 9 o'clock, went to bed early, had an experience of being out of body, which I've had for most of my life, so it wasn't really very unusual for me.
Okay, we have very little time coming on the top of the hour,
right,
so what
happened? I'll get through it real quick. Unusual for me anyway. I was taken up and then to a smaller craft and then off to a really large craft, and the people there were more like the tall Nordics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was examined, and then I was taken into a room with thousands of other people, other humans that were there. And there was a huge view screen, like on Star Trek, turned on, and they were going by really fast. And now things are happening, because I asked, telepathic, how am I going to see and remember all this stuff? And so then all of a sudden, they said, you'll know in the right time. And so now these things are starting to happen. The speeding up of time, the environmental things, the wars,
All right, listen, we've got to hold it right there. I wish we had more time. Your story is obviously interesting. You want to hear an interesting story? Stay tuned. Jim Sparks coming next. I'm Art Bell.